out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 21st of September, 2018. It is the autumnal equinox, and you are listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we've got a few news stories for you today. Two from Britain, one from America. And the first one, as always, is this incredible epidemic of violence which is happening in London under the Mayor Sadiq Khan, the Pakistani Mayor Sadiq Khan. Now, we didn't have quite as much violence when Boris Johnson was mayor, but there has always been extreme violence in London ever since it became multicultural. That's the cause of it. It's not the fact that we have a Pakistani mayor, it's the fact that 60% of the population is black and non-white. That is what is causing the violence there. And this, I've just picked one instance of it. I mean, every day there in London, there are people getting stabbed, people getting shot, people getting acid thrown in their faces. It happens every day now. And this particular one I've picked because it shows you the sort of weapons that are now being used, because they're typically African-style weapons. A man has been slain with a large knife in London after battling in the street with a man who had allegedly attempted to steal his phone. So what they mean by that is a machete. A Negro with a machete has tried to kill somebody over a phone. That's all that a man's life is worth now in London. A telephone. Possibly even less. I mean, we've heard of people being stabbed for a pair of trainers before, for items of clothing. That is how cheap life is now on the streets of London. Emergency services were called just before 9:30 p.m. Tuesday to reports of a stabbing in Tufnell Park, North London. The victim, 25, could not be saved, and he was pronounced dead 40 minutes later, stabbed to death for a mobile phone. Formal identification has yet to take place, but the man's next of kin have been informed, London Metropolitan Police said. A nearby road was cordoned off as police searched the area with sniffer dogs. Former soldier Brett Thompson, 63, who attempted to save the man's life, told the Evening Standard, "A guy in black," which means basically a guy who was black, "was wrestling with the lad in the street. He pulled out a knife and stabbed him in the leg, and it hit an artery. It was a very big knife. We tried desperately to save him by putting towels and t-shirts around the wound, but from my military medical training, I knew it was no good." So this is a deliberate killing here. The guy has deliberately killed him by going straight for an artery with a machete. Witness Philippe Cavallo, 31, who was riding home on a moped when he saw two men rowing in the road, said, "A man had a large rucksack on, and I saw another man shouting at him saying, 'Give me my phone back.' The man then pulled a huge knife out of his bag. It was about 60 centimetres long, over half a metre long. He showed it to the other guy and seemed to be threatening him. I shouted, 'Leave it, it's just a phone.' But they kept on arguing. He added, 'I tried to help. It's so sad that a man has lost his life over a mobile phone.'" The incident occurred as London Mayor Sadiq Khan launched a £500,000 violence reduction unit that aims to treat knife crime as a public health problem. And this is just unbelievable. Stabbing people is going to be treated as a public health problem. This is the mentality of London's mayor. a public health problem is something like drugs. I can understand them treating drugs as a public health problem because people that are on drugs, they do have addiction problems. They have dependence problems as well. They can't do without the drugs that they need. So they have to go out and commit crime to pay for them. They've got no other option, either crime, prostitution, or selling drugs themselves. So it really is a public health problem because using needles to get the drugs into their bodies, that ends up spreading hepatitis and AIDS and abscesses and all sorts of proper public health problems can be traced back to the use of drugs, particularly addictive drugs. So yes, drug use should be treated as a public health problem. Drug addicts should be given something that means that their dependence is taken care of, and then they can work on their addiction problems. That's, you know, what I would like to see as far as drugs are concerned. But as far as mugging people for mobile phones and stabbing them to death to do so, that's not a public health problem. That's not caused by people being addicted to something. That's not a physical problem. That's not a disease. There isn't a disease of stabbings and acid attacks that's suddenly taken hold in London. People are just suddenly catching this strange disease of wanting to mug people. That's not a public health problem. That's down to the race of the people that are in London. That's down to the fact that they are non-whites and blacks. I mean, how is he going to treat this like a public health problem? Is he going to ask these people whether they feel an overwhelming need to steal an iPhone? Are they addicted to stealing iPhones, maybe? Are they addicted to stabbing people? Is that what the problem is? Are they going to give them a substitute for going out and stabbing someone? Is that how they're going to treat this as a health problem? Are they going to give gang members dummies to stab so that they can get out that need to go out there and kill someone that day? They can just attack a dummy? Or does he mean that what he's actually going to do is hand out free iPhones maybe to the gang members? Would that reduce the violence? They've got a public health problem. It's an overwhelming urge that these gang members have to steal a mobile phone. So the solution to it is obviously give them all mobile phones. Maybe that's what his idea is. But somehow he thinks that by throwing £500,000 at treating knife crime as a public health problem, he's going to solve this issue. Now, what he does, he points to Glasgow, where apparently Glasgow had a problem with violence, glassing people and knifing people. But Glasgow is 90% white. So you cannot look at what happened in Glasgow and compare it to what is going on in London. It took 10 years for them to reduce the violence in Glasgow, and that was with white people. You cannot treat Negroes the same as white people because they're not white people and they're not going to respond in the same way that white people respond. I mean, we have seen millions poured into trying to stop knife crime in London. They've given these blacks, they've given them their own pirate radio stations. They've spent lots of money on setting up leisure centres and youth clubs for them. They've got loads of money that they've spent in trying to turn young Negroes away from joining these gangs. And every single one of these programmes has failed, because we've now got this massive increase in knife crime. The only way that you could really stop the knife crime is to have stop and search, is to have the police stopping anyone that they think might be carrying a knife. And of course, 90% of the Negroes are carrying knives. They carry weapons. And the police can't stop them, because if they do stop them now, they get accused of racism. Theresa May made a big point. We're going to do away with stop and search. And Sadiq Khan as well. This was his platform when he was elected as mayor. We're going to do away with stop and search because it's a racist policy that affects far more blacks than it does whites. And that's because there are far more descriptions given of blacks carrying out crimes than there are of whites carrying out crimes. This is the reason why there's more blacks that are stopped, or there was more blacks that were stop and search rather than whites. But these crazy politicians have insisted that actually it was a racist policy there, and these nasty white police officers that just hate the colour of people's skin for some reason were just stopping and searching all these blacks for no reason whatsoever, just because they wanted to touch up a Negro, I guess. That must have been their motive for doing it. And the fact that it cut back knife crime, well, that's just totally irrelevant, isn't it? So now that they've cut back on stop and search, they've got no more stop and search, they've now got a massive epidemic of knife crime in London, and drug dealers as well. They've got a massive problem with drugs being sold. And the population, even the blacks themselves, are saying, bring back stop and search. We want stop and search. That's the only thing that will prevent our youth from carrying knives. But obviously the mayor, London's mayor, is not listening to the stab victims' families who are saying bring back stop and search. And he's going to treat this as a public health problem. Treat this as a public health problem. Maybe he's going to send doctors in there psychologists to ask these gang members why they feel this need to attack people over postcodes, and why they feel a need to rob people and stab white people and throw acid around. Absolutely, absolutely crazy. The only way to stop all of this is to just deport all the blacks and the non-whites back to where they came from. Do areas that are 100% white, do they have problems? Knife crime problems? No, they don't. Do areas that are 100% homogenous, even if they are not white, but even if there are other races in there 100% homogenous, such as the Japanese and the Chinese, I wonder, do they have a knife crime problem in Tokyo? Do they have an acid attack problem in Tokyo? No, they don't, because they are homogenous. They don't have a multicultural capital city. Does Vilnius in Lithuania, that is 99% white, does that have a knife problem being a capital city of a country? No, it doesn't. It's all down to race. It's all down to Negroes having a far higher propensity for carrying out violent crime than white people. And this is an easily verifiable fact. Wherever you find Negroes, you will find violent crime occurring at about 10 times the rate that it occurs among white people. Just look at Africa. Just look at what's going on in South Africa. David Lammy, he does a report on this. He goes around every white country, discovers that in every white country, there are 10 times as many blacks locked up as there are whites. And instead of thinking, well, that means they're 10 times more likely to commit crimes, he says, oh, all the whites are racist. All the police are racist. All the judges are racist. It can only be because whites are prejudiced. That's why there are so many blacks locked up. And the one place that he didn't actually go and visit is Africa or Haiti, places that are full of blacks, to see what how many Negroes were actually locked up there and how many crimes occurred in these black countries. I mean, you would think it was pretty obvious that if you wanted to have a control group to see where there was no racism, to see whether there was still the same number of blacks involved in violent crime where there was no racism at all, you would want to look at that, wouldn't you, to compare it if you were going to accuse all the white judges and all the white police of being racist in Britain. But oh no, David Lammy, apparently he didn't think of that. He didn't think of doing that. That just didn't occur to him, to actually go out there to Africa to see how many Negroes were locked up. Right, moving on to the next story that we've got here. And this actually follows on from a topic that I covered in Aryan Britannia a couple of weeks back about the incredible levels of incompetence that these non-white doctors have in the NHS. And don't forget, we're always being told over here in Britain, oh, the NHS would fall apart if it wasn't for all the foreigners in it. We must have foreigners in the NHS. We must have more of them. They're such great doctors. Never mind the fact that you can have to wait 6 months for an operation because there are so many non-whites in the country all making use of the NHS. But now, apparently, the NHS is subconsciously racist. Yes, the NHS is subconsciously racist. This organisation that is about 30% non-white as it is and keeps demanding to be able to import more non-whites rather than actually training up white people. Apparently the NHS is subconsciously racist. And it's actually the Indian head of the British Medical Association who is claiming this. Of course, the Indian head of the British Medical Association, he wouldn't possibly be biased in any way, would he? He says white people are subconsciously biased against non-whites. Well, he wouldn't actually be subconsciously supportive of non-whites in saying this, would he? No, no, that couldn't happen. Non-whites aren't at all loyal to their own kind, are they? They are complete humanitarians, complete progressives, aren't they, non-whites? Dr. Chand Nagpal, who has been in the role, that's as head of the BMA, since July last year, alleged that ethnic minority doctors are not routinely promoted. So the NHS is deliberately keeping down these ethnic minority doctors. He admits the NHS has moved a long way since the 80s, when he claims he was rejected from GP training 9 times because of his name. Why is it moving on a long way to replace all the white doctors with non-white doctors? Why is that considered to be a goal that the NHS should be aiming for? Nobody's ever explained that one, why we should think it's great that white doctors are being replaced by non-whites, why that should be a lauded goal of the NHS. Apparently the NHS employs 100,000 doctors, of which figures show that around a third are from black or minority ethnic backgrounds. Now, considering blacks and minority ethnics, we are told, are only make up about 15% of the population, yet the NHS employs 35% of the doctors in the NHS are black or minority ethnic, I would suggest that proves that quite the opposite of being racist. The NHS is actually bending over backwards to employ 3 times as many black and minority ethnics as there actually are in the population. They're quite clearly turning away white doctors because they desperately want to employ black and minority ethnics, unless they're saying that black and minority ethnics are 3 times more likely to actually be doctors than white people. Well, that's quite obviously not true, because blacks have an average IQ of 75 and non-whites and Pakis have an average IQ of 85. So it's quite clearly only the exceptions to the rule that are capable of even being a doctor. So it can't actually be that blacks are 3 times more likely to be doctors than whites are. What's going on here is that white people are actually being turned over for the jobs, and the Negroes and the minority ethnics are being taken on. That's the only conclusion that you can come to from this. And yet this guy, he has the cheek to accuse the NHS of being racist when it employs 3 times as many black and minority ethnic doctors as there are their proportion of the population. Official figures show that only 7% of people in senior management posts in the health service are of BME backgrounds. Well, you would expect that when you know about the average IQ, wouldn't you? You wouldn't expect people with low IQ, an average low IQ, to be in senior management posts. You wouldn't expect people that can't speak English to be in senior management posts. Dr. Nagpal, who has been a qualified GP, that's general practitioner, for 29 years, told the Daily Telegraph, "There is probably a subconscious bias that needs to be addressed." When asked if he thought this amounted to racism, he said yes, and pointed to figures showing white doctors face less disciplinary action. Well, that couldn't possibly be, because blacks and minority ethnics are far more likely to be incompetent. Oh no, it can only be because the people that investigate these things are racist. They're just going after black and minority ethnic doctors just because they hate them, even though they're employing 3 times as many of them as there are them in the population. And this report that we looked at a couple of weeks back in Erin Britannia, that showed 70% of all the doctors that have been struck off for incompetence were black or minority ethnic. 70% of them. And it also showed that Bangladeshis, which is where this doctor comes from, Bangladeshis are 13 times more likely to be investigated for incompetence than white doctors are. This is the reason why they aren't in senior management positions. It's because they're incompetent. It's because they're dangerously incompetent. Dangerously incompetent doctors. And this guy wants there to be more of them. And he accuses white people of being biased. He's the one that is biased, claiming that because there are these high figures of black and minority ethnics that are facing disciplinary action, that means that they've been caught doing something wrong. They've been caught doing something dangerous. He's saying that's racism. He's saying that these black and minority ethnic doctors, actually, they haven't done anything wrong. It's just been made up, this accusation that they're incompetent. And the evidence, I guess, I don't know how he explains the evidence, because they're pretty thorough. And they stand up for the doctors far more than they actually should do. The one that we talked about in Erin Britannia, this Indian doctor that had really severely harmed over 100 different white patients. They all look white, the ones that the BBC was showing. The medical council has done nothing about it. And the medical council have been asked to do something about this and to prosecute this guy for leaving people paralyzed and taking out people's tear ducts. And the medical council has said, well, we're just here to protect patients. We're not here to punish doctors. So that's the mentality of the people that are actually disciplining these doctors. They've got no interest in disciplining them. And these doctors that actually are disciplined, they have to have done an incredible amount of damage before they are. You think of this Bangladeshi doctor I talked about in Erin Britannia, 100 patients of his had been severely injured by him, and he still wasn't properly investigated. God knows what these other incompetent doctors have been up to that Dr. Nagpal seems to think are just being disciplined out of racism. He told the Telegraph that doctors progress based on ability, not their accent, in other parts of the world. So, regardless of the fact that 70% of the doctors that have actually been kicked off for incompetence are non-white, he claims it's in the rest of the world, people are promoted on ability. But yet on the doctors showing of ability in Britain, they're incompetent. So it's got nothing to do with their accent, whether they're being struck off for being incompetent. It's to do with the evidence. And yet he has the cheek to pretend that in other parts of the world, this doesn't exist. It doesn't exist because in the other parts of the world he's talking about, they're 100% non-white. He's talking about India. In India, people aren't looked over for promotion. And it's all down to ability. That's because they're all non-white. He is just standing up for his own people, as you would expect these people to stand up for their own. But he's got an incredible amount of cheek to be accusing the NHS of being racist. These non-whites, they will push it as far as they possibly can go. And we just seem to be letting them. Nobody's challenging this. Nobody is saying that's an absolute nonsense. How dare you say that the NHS is racist when it employs so many blacks and non-whites? NHS England argued the proportion of very senior managers of black and minority ethnic backgrounds had jumped by 18% over the past 2 years. Why would they want to be boasting about that? Why would they see that as a good thing, that white senior managers in Britain are being replaced at a rate of 18%? Why would they see that as a good thing when 70% of these non-whites, or 70% of the doctors struck off are non-white? A spokesman told the Telegraph, "Ensuring our workforce is more representative of the people we care for is good for both staff and patients." Well, judging by that logic, we should have child doctors caring for children, shouldn't we? We should have 10-year-olds that are responsible for looking after 10-year-olds. If this is the logic that we're going to say, that we have to have people exactly the same as the people that they're actually caring for, does that mean that we have to have homosexual doctors that are treating homosexuals? Does it mean we have to have lesbian doctors treating lesbians? And this is nonsense, that the workforce should be representative of the people that it's caring for. And it already is. If the NHS workforce was representative of the population that it's caring for, then it would only be 15% non-white, not 35% non-white. Dr. Nagpal spoke out against figures published in the British Medical Journal earlier this month that showed senior white doctors are paid more than their ethnic peers. Thousands of ethnic GPs continue to face unacceptable barriers, penalties, and discrimination in the NHS, he argued at the time. The basic pay of white consultants can be £5,000 more a year compared with those from black and minority ethnic backgrounds, the study showed. Well, perhaps these white consultants work harder. Perhaps they do more hours. Perhaps, do you think that it might possibly actually be that they're averaging it out because there are more white consultants, and these white consultants that are there have actually been there for longer than these non-whites? Because this drive to increase black and non-whites in the NHS, this has only recently occurred. So they're actually looking at consultants that have been doing the job for 30 or 40 years. So of course they're going to be paid a little bit more. Dr. Nagpal said on the back of the figures that the pay difference between white and black and minority ethnic doctors in 21st century Britain cannot be right. Because he breaks this down just to a skin colour. He's not interested in actual abilities, whether these white doctors have the ability to get the job done, where these white doctors have never been investigated for incompetence. It's all about what race they are. Doesn't matter if black and minority ethnic doctors have been investigated for incompetence, then that must just be racism. It's just down to the NHS being racist. When is someone going to speak up about this? Come on, Gerard Batten. Speak up about this. He's actually, Gerard Batten, that is, he's actually at the UKIP conference today. He was pretty good, actually. His audience were actually better. As I keep saying, that the actual members of these civic nationalist groups are a lot more radical than the leaders are themselves. He was talking about migration, and he said, we do need some migration, and somebody shouted out at the back, we don't want any immigration. And that got a massive round of applause. The guy at the back saying we don't want any immigration. It probably got more applause than Gerard Batten himself saying that we do need some. But he also talked about the importance of free speech and being able to speak your opinions, and that he will continue to speak up for all the people that are too frightened to speak up because they might lose their job. Well, we've got one final story for you today. And this just highlights the contradiction between what Jews can say and what white people can say. Now, this actually comes from a Jewish news site, the JTA. And if I was to be saying this, this would be anti-Semitic. But because it's the Jews that are saying it, it's perfectly fine. And this is about the Emmy Awards. It was quite a Jewish night at the 70th Emmy Awards. While co-host Michael Chi joked that most of the first winners, despite being white, of course they weren't, they were Jewish, did not thank Jesus, the explanation may have been that almost all of them were Jewish. The marvellous Mrs. Maisel, the Amazon show about a Jewish housewife turned stand-up comedian, won nearly every award for which it was nominated. What a surprise. How could anybody guess that that would happen? Including Best Comedy, Best Writing for a Comedy Series, Best Directing for a Comedy Series, and Best Actress in a Comedy. The Jewish show gobbled up 8 awards in total. Amy Sherman-Palladino, the show's creator, won 2 awards for writing and directing. She dedicated the writing prize to her father, who died in 2012, saying the show was based on him. Don Sherman was a comedian. My father inspired this, really, so I had to turn a 6'2" Bronx Jew into Rachel Brosnan. That's Hollywood, she screeched. Alex Borstein, the Mad TV alum, who plays Susie Meyerson, Mrs. Maisel's gruff manager, won the second award of the evening, and her mother was a Holocaust survivor from Hungary. Now, if I was to be pointing this out, saying that Jewish shows have won 8 awards at the Emmys, and claiming sympathy that they were Holocaust survivors, I would be accused of being anti-Semitic. This new definition of anti-Semitism, pointing out that Jews run the media, that's anti-Semitic. But of course, what's happening here is the Jews themselves are boasting that they run the media. They've even got some other Jewish highlights from TV's Biggest Night. The opening monologue started with jokes about Roseanne, a Jew who was fired from the reboot of her eponymous sitcom following a racist tweet. Roseanne was cancelled by herself and then picked up by white nationalists, co-host Colin Jost joked. Chi retorted, "I heard Roseanne's actually moving to Israel. How messed up is your life when you have to move to the Middle East just to get peace of mind?" Maya Rudolph, also Jewish, starred in the show as a clueless Emmy expert with Fred Armisen. Jewish actor Henry Winkler, who became a ubiquitous character actor since his days as the Fonz in the popular 70s and 80s sitcom Happy Days, won his first Emmy for supporting actor on the HBO show Barry. Winkler's German-Jewish parents immigrated to the US in 1939, fleeing from the Nazis, I guess, and helped found Congregation Habonim, a conservative German synagogue in Manhattan. I guess the Americans were really grateful for that. This Jew comes over and builds a synagogue in a Christian country. Jewish director of the Academy Award show, Glenn Weiss, turned his Emmy acceptance speech into a sickly sweet wedding proposal. I mean, that really was puke-inducing when we saw that on the television. The In Memoriam segment honoured Jews Monty Hall and Neil Simon, among others. Joe Weisberg, a former Jewish CIA officer, won an award for his writing for the FX drama The Americans. And finally, D.B. Weiss and David Benioff, the Jewish showrunners of the Jewish Game of Thrones, were the last winners of the night, taking home the trophy for Best Drama Series. Now that is all pure anti-Semitism, but because it's written by Jews, it's not anti-Semitic. It's okay for the Jews to say it, it's just not okay when we say it. Okay, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. I do hope you have a great weekend. God bless and hail victory.